Welcome to Speed City with John Massengill, Les Kaiser, and Jonathan Green. It's the fastest hour on the radio. Speed City.
Good evening, gearheads. Welcome to Speed City. Man, we are fired up. We had a fantastic Formula One race today to watch from Malaysia.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And you know
just made Austin even better. More the reason you got to get to the Austin race.
3 weeks we got Austin. How incredible is this? And of course, with the results, the race is tightening up. Championship is tightening up.
It is still very much alive.
And Mercedes did not win the Constructors' Championship.
That's an interesting one.
We're keeping the dream
Mark
alive.
Mark Webber did not participate in a shoey either.
How did he get away with not drinking out of that shoe?
Oh, so this is great. So anyway, what was so funny about it, Ricardo wins. He does a shoey. He made both of the runner-ups.
Nico Rosberg. He made everybody on the podium drink out of his shoe.
Christian Horner drank out of the shoe. Well, Webber comes walking out, and before anybody can get to it, he grabs the shoe and throws it to the crowd.
It was awesome.
It's becoming a tradition, isn't it?
He's no fool.
Well, we're fired up, guys. It's John Massengill sitting next to Les Kaiser.
Howdy,
and Jonathan
y'all.
Green. How's it going? All right, boys. Well, we got a lot to talk about. We got Oz Negri, the winner of the Petit Le Mans, show live.
The big one.
Oz is fun. He's a fun guy to get to know, so I encourage y'all to stick around.
Do we have his daily driver yet?
I don't know, but we're going to get accused of some sort of favoritism because we have him on the show a lot, because he's a great guest. That's why.
He is. He's a lot of fun.
Anyway, he'll be on at about 7:30, but we got Inga Strecka. We just got off the phone with Inga. We recorded a little segment with Inga because it's like 2 in the morning over there. I want to talk about Inga because, Jonathan, remind us what her history was and how it coincides with your
history.
Yeah,
she's just not this random German we found. Inga was my sparring partner in Formula One back in the day when I was the wee bit Will Buxton of the day.
Oh, I thought that was going to explain the knots on his head.
Well, me and her went head to head because she represented German TV and I was on ESPN for the USA for Formula One, and we were doing what Townsend and Will Buxton were doing, which is running around doing grid walks and all the rest of it and getting interviews. And back then we didn't have the corrals that they have. So you had to individually go and find Mika Hakkinen or Jack Villeneuve or Damon Hill, whoever it was at the time. But she was rather beautiful and still is, and blonde and German and gorgeous. And so she got plenty of good interviews because the guys liked her.
Yeah, you had to compete with that.
So
yeah.
She said to follow her, right?
But she's actually one of the most proficient Formula One reporters and correspondents in the world. So delighted to have her on Speed City.
Yeah, we'll have her on. We're going to play that segment here in just a second. Speaking of gridwalks, Townsend Bell,
awesome.
Did a great job today.
He did great. We see him around the IndyCar stuff, but I was really excited to see that he was just as sharp with the F1.
Well, and I really didn't expect him to be that good, I think is what it was. Not because he doesn't do a good job otherwise, but he's in a whole new environment. He's around the world. And I love Will Buxton, absolutely. But he just did a great job. I thought it was great.
And it's funny because I obviously see a lot of correspondence between myself and Will, because neither of us have been, at the top of racing scene. We're both broadcasters. And with Townsend, if you can get... I always feel this way, and I certainly feel this way when I'm working with somebody. If you can get an ex-driver to do the job of a broadcaster well, it's awesome. Karun Chandhok's doing it now. Townsend was brilliant today. Because there's so much more empathy between the drivers and an actual driver than with a broadcaster. The broadcaster's always looking to kind of trap the driver, or the drivers are wary of the broadcasters because they don't know how much knowledge they have or do not have, and sometimes they feel wary that they're just trying to trap them into a question. Whereas drivers, man oh man, you've been in my seat, you know what I've been doing, and the intelligence of Townsend and the questions he was asking today shows that he's been there, done that, got the t-shirt.
And he's got the relationship. What about that when he asked Christian Horner today?
Oh, that was fun.
He said, "Who's the greatest? Who's the fastest American?" He said, "Well, of course you." But you could tell they had that relationship. So
I hope they bring. I hope they use Townsend. I mean, obviously, Will's be back, and can't wait to have him back again because he's brilliant. But I hope they find a room for Townsend down the road in Formula One with them. That's great.
We talked about it long ago that I was asked, when are they going to have some Americans commentating on NBC.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, it's a very easy misconception to look on there and think there's no Americans when all three of those guys have been living around the U.S. for a very long time.
Well, and may I also say, Brian Till, how brilliantly he did when Lee was away, stepped into the seat and was consummate.
He's got connections to Texas.
Yes, he does.
Now, speaking of broadcast questions, somebody just tweeted at us a good broadcast question. By the way, if you do want to interact with us on the show, hit us up on Twitter or Facebook.
Oh, heck, call us.
Or call us.
Come on the show now.
You can call us 512-643-LIVE, 512-643-5483. And we're going to give away some F1 tickets tonight, so boys and girls.
So it's worth calling in.
So, yeah.
Is there a trivia question?
We haven't decided yet.
We're
going to leave them hanging here.
What's the question?
I haven't decided what the
What's the question from the audience?
That question.
Yeah.
So that question was, how can the UK market...
Squirrel.
Yeah. This is a good question, actually, because he was like, how can the UK market get three channels of F1 coverage? He said BBC, Sky, and Channel 4. He said, all do F1.
Because we invented Formula 1. How dare you ask the question? It's in a British sport, damn it.
I knew there was a reason you wanted to answer this question.
I can answer that question. BBC perennially had a long-term relationship free-to-air. It was always important for British sport, especially what we call the jewels of the crown of sport, like Wimbledon, the boat race, FA Cup final, and Formula One, the British Grand Prix, as being on free-to-air. That was traditionally how it was, but of course TV has changed over the years, and now with the emergence of BT Sport and Sky Sports, football and all these treasures have gone to pay-per-view. Sky were involved, I was involved in Sky's coverage 10 years ago with Formula One Digital. They then went to the BBC, got a big contract with the BBC. They had it for a while. And then the BBC decided that they couldn't afford to do as much sport as they had been doing. And of course, they still do things like the Olympics and so on. The BBC were cutting down. So the BBC gave up their rights last year. Sky swooped in. And obviously, there was a lot of complaints that, hey, how do we get to see it if we're normal fans and we don't have a cable platform. So Channel 4 got the rights, and Channel 4 is a national broadcaster similar to Fox or CBS or NBC. It's a national free-to-air broadcaster. So that's how they got the rights. And so, like you say, and of course BBC Radio continue to be paragons of brilliance on the radio side of it with their checkered flag and their live coverage. So there's good coverage in Britain, but it is also, to answer his question, one of the strongest markets for Formula One from a fan point of view and from an interest point of view. And obviously with Jensen doing what he's been doing and the interest in the British teams and the strong influence that Formula One has in England for a long time. So that's kind of a long way of answering that question.
Yeah, well.
Child custody,
I would
sounds like to me.
Yeah. I think you answered their question very thoroughly, by the way. I think they got it. Hey, I saw, I think we're going to move Inga to right after this first break, but I saw an interesting story on, in the Statesman, actually, American Statesman. Their coverage of Formula One has come back to life.
Yay! Year 5, reasons to be cheerful.
Yeah, but they had a really good article about how the tickets were selling at Circuit of the Americas. And you know what? I noticed it just very, I don't know, anecdotally or whatever. I just went to the circuitoftheamericas.com to check out tickets and see what was available. And they are selling very, very well. I backed up what I saw on the Statesman by just trying to click on tickets on the site. They're selling like crazy this year compared to this time last year. Big time.
Well, and I think every reason to be. We now have an American team. It's been an amazing season. NBC are doing what they do. And the Circuit of the Americas has marketed this slightly different. They got T-Swizzle coming in. Taylor Swift. That's what I call a T-Swizzle.
Y'all are tight, right?
I wish you could see Les's expression.
T-Swizzle.
You did everything but the eye roll. It was. You can see that's what it was.
And the weekend. They're putting bands in, okay? And they're going to have more. And I think this is a really good initiative. They've always had the 360 amphitheater, and I think that's really taken off now, and I think more people know about that aren't necessarily interested in motor racing know a lot more about the music scene out at the Circuit of the Americas as an option compared to some of the other venues. And now they're using these big events to bring in, and you know, we saw it at Lone Star Le Mans, it becomes much more of a festival. And I think COTA are definitely getting it right now as they grow and attract more fans to it, and the hope is you know, that we'll see sort of events that become more festival-like, more caravans, more RVs, and so on and so forth. And like I said, I think that's why the tickets are going so well for Formula One. I mean, it's a good season.
Yeah, well, and I do know way more than I thought I would ever know about Taylor Swift. I have a 12-year-old daughter, so I have found out lots of information. One of the things that people need to remember is that they're not doing the Taylor Swift concert, and I guess the weekend either, at the 360 Amphitheater. They're doing it at the Super Stage, I think they call it.
Mm-hmm.
That was, I think they did the same thing at...
For Elton John.
Yeah, for Elton John, and they've done it a handful of times now. Yeah. So.
And Taylor Swift is Saturday night.
After yes.
The racing regimen.
7 p.m. Saturday
and,
night.
And weekend is Sunday night. So you got two nights worth of excellent concerts.
Yeah, the weekend have been busy. They were on Saturday Night Live last night.
I saw that. I didn't get to hear them.
Checked them out there. Pretty good. I enjoyed it. Yeah, looking forward to Taylor.
And, come on out to Taylor and watch Jonathan twerk to Taylor.
That's not easy to say, even for you, with a bit with a beard like that.
I just kind of threw up in my mouth a little bit when you said that. All right, guys. Well, we've got the segment with Inga Strecka. She goes in detail, and we discuss today's race with her. It was a fantastic Formula One race in Malaysia, and it was apparently pretty darn hot. I saw 130-degree track temperature. And, you know, if they keep pushing the Austin race back, we're going to see those same temperatures here one of these times before they know it. So, all right, we're going to go ahead and take our break. And when we come back, we're going to continue to talk about this Formula One. We're going to talk about how you can win tickets. And we'll have that segment with Inga Strecka back after these messages.
Precision Camera and Video is the largest camera store in Texas with over 10,000 square feet and packed with all the latest manufacturer offerings. Founded in 1976 and still owned and operated by its founders Jerry and Rosemary Sullivan, Precision Camera is committed to the finest customer experience. With hand-picked products and on-hand experts, you won't find a more helpful, knowledgeable, and accommodating sales staff for quality service. Come see for yourself, Precision Camera and Video, 2438 West Anderson Lane.
As a rider, you know what you like. The power, the feel, the ride. When it comes to gear, you know what keeps you safe. Ducati Austin provides riders with the finest in Danny Z leathers, the best the market offers. Visit Ducati Austin on Breaker Lane just east of I-35 and throw your leg over the most iconic sports bike ever built.
Ducati.
Even take it for a test ride or see what's been described as art on wheels from MV Agusta. You know what you like. See it at Ducati Austin. Online at MotoAustin.com.
The racetrack. It's where legends are born. Where only the finest machines earn their reputation for innovation and dominance. Such are the nameplates you'll find at Aston Martin of Austin, Lotus of Austin, Bentley Austin, and Rolls-Royce Motorcars. Austin exotic, iconic automobiles whose racing heritage turns everyday driving into an inspiring journey. Because you're never just along for the ride. Highway 183 north of McNeil Road.
Admit it. You've sat there on the couch and thought to yourself that you would be a better race car driver than that guy. Just as the Speed City guys say, it's time to get off the couch and get it in gear. Mustang 4 Challenge is here to make that happen. Get in our race cars and learn how to race. We take you from the couch to the checkered flag, whether for one race or for the entire season. See for yourself at Mustang4Challenge.com.
Talk 1370, the right choice.
Hey everyone, I'm Steve Arpin, drive the Jacob Company's Ford Fiesta for Lone Bro Chip Ganassi Racing. You're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to Speed City.
I'll be seeing him next week in LA. Red Bull, here I come.
All right.
Steve
That's
Arpin,
right.
Yeah.
Jonathan Green's going to be doing the commentary for the Red Bull Rallycross.
Can't wait. Love it.
That's awesome. Hey, speaking of doing commentary and broadcast, somebody just tweeted at us and said, is there any place can I hear the Formula One race on the radio or somewhere?
Come to the right place.
And yes, Speed City will be doing, as we have done every year, we're going to be doing the Formula One race. So you can tune in right here on AM 1370 and hear that broadcast.
You know, one of the things that's cool about that is each race week, as we get into the race weekend, we set up a loop. So if we're not online live and you're following us, there's some great content that we've got that, you know, might be historically significant, or it might be about this exact weekend. So
that is a great point. If you go to the app, you just hit the archive stream, and we tailor the content for that weekend. So if you're trying to get fired up and it's Wednesday or Thursday.
Tailor is the content for that weekend. See? See what I did there?
I knew it.
As soon as you open your big mouth, you were, swiftly moving on.
So I forgot what I was saying.
A couple of eye rolls there.
Yeah. So you can hear all sorts of cool content, everything, because we'll be getting some interviews leading up to the race. We'll probably have some Haas F1 interviews. And speaking of the broadcast, Jonathan, you're going to kill me, but I'm just going to say this. We're going to get, unless you may not even know this, guess who's going to be in the booth with us?
Santa Claus?
The Indy 500 winner, Alexander Rossi.
That's the plan.
That's the plan. You know how these things change?
They are 53 coming in house.
No, yeah, I'm really, I put a request in for that to be the case. He's keen on doing some commentary. He's working, obviously, that weekend with Manor. But
during the race, I mean.
Well, that's the hope.
Well, he's driving the rental car is what he said at the Indy 500.
And hey, what you couldn't get a better insight into Formula One than the words of Alexander Rossi. He's been there, done that, and he's probably one of the most technical minds in motor racing, and the way he won the Indy 500 proved it.
Well, you know,
that is really true.
I really like it because he talks about the challenges that we don't hear, and you know, so often it's like, oh, isn't there an American driver? It's like, you have no idea how complicated it is.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's no better person right now to tell us about the complications and all the hurdles that you got to go through.
Do you remember when we were guests of Caterham Formula One, when he was a member of that team, and we got to listen on the headphones to the half hour before the race and the pre-check between the driver and the engineers? Wow.
That was in 2012. That was the first race.
Amazing.
There's a lot of work that goes on
in those cockpits.
Yeah, that was awesome. And, you know, what better person than the only American that has a Formula One super license
right.
On the planet.
Yeah.
So, yeah, listen in. We're going to be doing the race. And we are fired up about that. All right, so let's go ahead and we're going to play the segment we did with Inga about a half hour ago. So it's obviously fresh content. We talked about the Malaysian GP. So let's hear this segment with Inga Strecka. Inga Strecka, welcome back to Speed City. What a great day to have you with the incredible Malaysian Grand Prix today. It was so exciting.
Hey, I think I should say Selamat Datang then, should I?
Tidak masala.
Terima kasih, thank you.
Yes, it's very tasty too.
Well, Inga, we got to get your take because my mind is one of the best races of the year for sure.
Well, it was action from the get-go, that's for sure, with the start crash, which is a little controversial. It was a brilliant race.
What did you think? Was Vettel in the at fault or not?
Well, I quote him. Let's do it like that. I'm being a little diplomatic. I'll quote him. He said, I was fighting with Verstappen. And Verstappen closed in. And that's for sure. If you see the replay, you see Verstappen shutting the door and then zipping out a little bit. But you also see that Vettel was carrying too much speed into that tight corner. And very unfortunately, and Vettel did apologize afterwards, very unfortunately, that was in the moment as Nico Rosberg was preparing to go and catch Lewis Hamilton for the second corner. So he was already like preparing his move for second corner, and he was unfortunately in the wrong place in the wrong moment.
Yeah, but didn't it seem, you know, Vettel went off on Daniel Kvyat early in the year. Didn't it seem like a very similar move that he was just grilling Daniel Kvyat on?
Well, but you look at the move Max Verstappen did to the two Ferraris in Belgium, and it could have been seen similar as well. He was in the inside, and you know, he was basically there trying to make his room.
Yeah, can't argue with that. That's true.
What's your thought on Red Bull 1-2? Obviously, they've, without a doubt, spent some time in the boonies in the last year or so. And I know they were given a little bit of a result for two reasons. Obviously, Rosberg having to go from the back and also Hamilton going out. But it's got to be really a massive fill-up for them.
Ah, oh, brilliant. My congratulations go to my friends in Austria. Well done. And yes, they may have inherited it a little bit, but you also have to be there and perform to inherit something, because it could have as well been, Kimi Räikkönen with Ferrari to speed forward. So I think Red Bull did everything right. They did the right strategy, both drivers. And I particularly love the fact that they did let both of them race against each other. That although Verstappen was moaning and complaining that they should order Ricciardo to let him go by, that Ricciardo held his spot and rightso, because shortly afterwards, Hamilton was gone and Ricciardo was storming to victory.
Yep, and I know it's something that didn't come up on the NBC show, but I'm sure it's something that you thought of. Do you remember last year when Renault could do no good and they didn't have an engine and then no one wanted them as a contract and Christian Horner said they were awful people? Today they got a 1-2 and Mercedes blew up.
Right, but it's now called a Tag Heuer engine.
Oh, no, sorry. Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Nice work. But it is ironic. That's Formula One for you, isn't it? It's quickly forgotten that they were the butt of many a joke, Renault, a few months ago. And I think they're a liability today and this season, actually, to be fair. And I think it could play out that they may beat Ferrari. So it has been a significant turnaround for one of the oldest engine suppliers in Formula One.
And not to forget Danny's shoe on the podium.
Oh, yes.
I can only imagine how that champagne, sparkling wine would have tasted. And he made everybody drink, like Christian Horner, Max Verstappen, even Nico Rosberg.
I know. Did you see Nico Rosberg's face?
I know.
He reacted we were all thinking, this tastes like foot sweat.
Right. Well, we've got Les on the case.
In fact, Nico said afterwards in a small round, he said, I hope he doesn't win many more races. This is where I'm on the podium with him.
We've got Les on the case. He's going to go to Alan's boots, and we're going to get everybody in Austin to put on a boot and then give it to Ricciardo if he makes the podium in Austin. That's
Don't
my plan.
Don't you have like a glass boot in the US that you drink beer out of?
Yeah,
Someone should give him as a present that glass boot when he's in Austin.
That's a good call.
That's a pretty good idea, actually. I like that.
Well, it's a bit more hygienic than a sweaty race boot.
No kidding. Well, obviously, I know you're a big fan of Nico, and the Germans obviously want Nico, I presume the German fans want Nico to win in the battle that is Mercedes. A very important day for him and a great drive for him. I mean, he really did keep his head, given that his teammate was out. He needed the power. He wanted it. He was under pressure. But I thought he put on a very, very mature display today.
Doesn't that show great racing when you have one of the front runners at the back fighting their way through, like Hamilton did it before, and now Nico just like overtaking? I think he made up 3 spots per lap in the beginning. Amazing.
Good news for Honda as well, obviously, with both of them finishing in the top 10.
Well, first of all, sorry, I have to go back to McLaren real quickly, just with a spot. Amazing, really, really lovely what McLaren did for Jensen. It was his 300 Grand Prix, and they transformed the entire McLaren hospitality into a British pub. I think they call it the
Dog and Button.
Yep.
I think they call it the Dog and Button. And they even had darts playing. Almost all of the other drivers came. Danny Ricciardo shared a drink with him. He actually said, I'll have a proper drink for Jensen after the race.
What you don't realize is that McLaren take that to every race. You just have never seen it before, because they like to have a pub wherever they go, because they're all from Woking.
Oh, I never get behind the doors of the real hospitality then.
And the good news for us, Inga, is that obviously Austin now, I think, will be alive, because it's going to be nip and tuck, and Austin again will be a decisive race. I don't think this year it will decide the championship, but I think it's going to be a major, major factor. And again, Red Bull always go well here. Obviously, Lewis loves the place. Vettel loves the place. So I think for fans of COTA coming on October 23rd, and T Swizzle, that's my new name for her, Taylor Swift, I think it's going to be a big weekend.
I think so too. I mean, I still have the hopes, as always, that the title fight goes down to the last race in Abu Dhabi, because it's always the best if you have it at the last race. I'm pretty sure Austin will see exciting races and, of course, an exciting fight between those two.
Well, great. Angus Strecka, thank you very much for coming on Speed City again, getting us all caught up to speed with the European perspective. And we will talk to you soon. We're really looking forward to the USGP, and we'll hope to give you the insight that you give us from over there.
Thank you very much. I look forward to it.
Thanks, Inga.
Thanks, Inga. Appreciate it.
I love, Jonathan, that she was, you and her were pit reporters competing. That's so cool. And
well, not really. She was way better.
If we can just get her here, you know, I think we got to show off Texas tour, but I want to hear the stories that Jonathan won't tell us.
Yeah. Hey, somebody just tweeted us. I love this tweet, and it's so true. It was Eric Johnson. He said, I admire Alexander Rossi's humbleness. He said, if I was the only American with a super license, I'd start every conversation that way.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
Hey, so Eric's definitely excellent. And marketing.
Yes. And speaking of tweeting at us, remember, guys, we got a stack of Formula One tickets we're giving away. And interacting with the show is an absolutely good way to get on that list. And the other way to get on that list is to download our app and hit the Enter to Win button. But we are going to give some away on the air tonight as well. So stay tuned, and we're going to give those away.
I'm bubbling up a trivia question.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to take a break, because when we come back, we have a super badass driver, race driver coming on who just won the Petit Le Mans. We
got nothing small about that.
Oswald Negri's coming on the show. All right, we're going to take a break and listen to Speed City live from Austin, Texas. Back after a quick break.
Racetrack. It's where legends are born, where only the finest machines earn their reputation for innovation and dominance. Such are the nameplates you'll find at Aston Martin of Austin, Lotus of Austin, Bentley Austin, and Rolls-Royce Motorcars. Austin, exotic, iconic automobiles whose racing heritage turns everyday driving into an inspiring journey, because you're never just along for the ride. Highway 183 north of McNeil Road. Precision Camera and Video is the largest camera store in Texas, with over 10,000 square feet and packed with all the latest manufacturer offerings. Founded in 1976 and still owned and operated by its founders Jerry and Rosemary Sullivan, Precision Camera is committed to the finest customer experience. With hand-picked products and on-hand experts, you won't find a more helpful, knowledgeable, and accommodating sales staff for quality service. Come see for yourself. Precision Camera and Video, 2438 West Anderson Lane.
Want to drive your car at speed on Circuit of the Americas? Edge Addicts is your source for more COTA events and more COTA track time. Whether you're looking to host your own event or just be a part of the action, Edge Addicts can get you in the driver's seat and racing like a pro. All levels of drivers and all types of cars are welcome, with instructors available for first-time and novice drivers. Life is short, and adventure is around every corner. So plan your high-adrenaline experience with Edge Addicts at edgeaddicts.com. Edge Addicts, it's better when you're driving.
As a rider, you know what you like. The power, the feel, the ride. When it comes to gear, you know what keeps you safe. Ducati Austin provides riders with the finest in day and easy leathers. The best the market offers. Visit Ducati Austin on Breaker Lane just east of I-35 and throw your leg over the most iconic sports bike ever built. Ducati. Even take it for a test ride. Or see what's been described as art on wheels from MV Agusta. You know what you like. See it at Ducati Austin. Online at DucatiAustin.com.
You've made the right choice. Talk 1370.
The following is a paid commercial program. Views and opinions expressed are those of the host or their guests and are not necessarily those of Talk 1370 or Entercom Communications.
Hey, I'm Tanner Faust, one of the hosts of Top Gear, and thanks for listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to Speed City. Tanner Faust. You worked with Tanner Faust. You did the X Games stuff. I mean, not really worked.
And the Red Bull, because he's been doing the Red Bull.
Of course. That's true.
Yeah. He's awesome. He's a really good guy, actually. That's what I love working in that environment, is because the guys are not only brilliant at driving the cars, they're also done a lot of media work, so they know how to put on a show and also deal with the media and bring the best out of themselves and their sponsors.
I think the most important thing that, you know, all these drivers have learned is... you got to come on Speed City to win.
This is it.
Good point. We were just looking at all the winners in IMSA, and I think we had virtually everybody on.
I think Oz knows the rule.
I think since we had Pippo Durrani on when he was in the Toyota Racing Series, his career has taken off, and he's finished it off again with another podium today after winning at Daytona at the beginning of the year. But
awesome. Well, now, speaking of winners, we've got one on the phone. We've got
the man who beat Pippo.
We've got the gentleman who beat Pippo.
Let's not say that too loud. Except when Oz is here.
The Petit Le Mans. Oz Negri, welcome back to Speed City, man.
How are you? And just like you said, we got a win to be on your program, right?
That's exactly it.
All righty. Welcome and congrats, buddy. How cool is that?
I just wish we do it more often.
Yeah, this is true. Well, you had a long day today, a very long day. The Petit Le Mans, as always, growing in strength. But it was an immaculate weekend, and it's very rare that that happens. Tell us, literally, it's been a long few days, but really, did anything go wrong?
A few things, we had the problem with left rear wheel nut. That was very, very hard to get it loose on the pit stops. That was kind of making our pit stops quite a lot longer than what we would hope for. Mechanics, the Shank crew just worked their magics around it. For you to have an idea, when we had the problem, the first pit stop with the problem, it took about 15 seconds longer than what it would normally do. And, we had just had to deal with it during the race. Me and Ollie, we were aware of it. And the word was go like hell, go like crazy. We need to open up a gap. So we've got a problem at a pit stop. We can we have a little cushion, and that's exactly what me and Ollie did. We were pushing like crazy, and I was trying to opening a gap just in case we had a longer pit stop than what we needed.
You know, it's one of those things that, even though they say they're longer races, it's still one of those things that people just don't realize how many times it comes down to just a couple of seconds in the pit that made the difference. We saw it, we saw somebody come in less than 2 minutes at the end of one of the 24-hour races and lose it. But what are the things that you really choreograph differently in those modes? I mean, it becomes even hypercritical even with the length of these races.
Well, like you said, every single second counts. It's a long race, an endurance race, one of the longest we have in our calendar. But we are flat out from green flag to checkered flag, and believe it or not, the out laps on cold tires and the in laps are extremely important. We have a spotter in the track that when we get close to our pit stop window, he tells us, we should pit like a lap earlier or a lap later, because track will be clear, and we are going to be able to push very hard on those laps. This is crucial. You can lose 5 seconds on an in or out lap if you get out the pits behind a group of GT cars. So everything is so well thought. And like this weekend, everything was absolutely perfect for us. It was a redemption from last year. Last year we had a weekend from hell. The car was badly damaged, and we damaged the car in the warm-up, and, the car was damaged in the race. We didn't finish the race. This weekend, we led every single session. Ollie put it on pole, and we led most of the race. I don't think I ever led a race in my entire career by 40 seconds, and that says a lot. About how the desire we had to, win this race, especially being John's last race, the team's 250th start. That would, you know, we really worked so hard for this result, and I'm so happy we got it.
Pretty impressive. And I just wonder now, given that we're now at the end of the season, what has been a really successful WeatherTech IMSA series this year, and it seems to go from strength to strength. But there are going to be a lot of changes next year. And obviously, as we look ahead, as we always do in motorsport, you've got a bit of a winter break, and obviously the Daytona 24 hours will be coming up quicker than you probably would want. But what will you do over the winter, and how different will the championship look in terms of the fact that we've got the new prototype next year?
I think there will be sometimes that everybody will need to readapt. I mean, the cars are going to be quite a bit faster than what they are now. You know, with more power, more downforce, they will look different. I think the series has done a very good job thinking about this new prototype era, and it's just going to be a lot of fun for, you know, the fans, the public, and you know, the people that follow racing, follow IMSA. You're going to see more manufacturers involved. The cars are going to all look the same. I mean, this year, you know, we have the LMP car, LMP2 cars, and the DP cars. And obviously, BOPing those two cars is pretty hard. You know, DPs were quite a bit faster in some tracks, and us with LMP2, we were quite a bit faster in other tracks. So next year, I think the competition will be very hard, extremely hard, because every car will be kind of born from the same mother.
You know, I always find the BOP something interesting in how much of your handy is showed not to get handicapped. I always feel like you almost have to race hard, win, but sandbag a little bit, not show how dominant you really could be.
Well, you know, everyone, every team and every manufacturer does things different. This year, we were always chasing. We were always, you know, going flat out. I don't think we ever sandbagged. And, you know, and IMSA has been, they how can I say, they did a way, they found a way to police it very hard, and I think they did a brilliant job BOPing the cars. They are black and white cars, like I said, totally different, producing the same lap time but in a different way. And next year, that won't happen. And you will see a lot closer competition for sure.
Well, I think that the IMSA's handled the balance of power really well, because that's not an easy thing to do. Think of all the different...
Well, it's a moving target, you know. Yeah. You never make everybody happy.
Well, yeah. Think of all the different ways you make power. Some engines, you know, okay, this engine makes 500 horsepower, so does this one. Well, this one makes it at 5,500 RPMs. This one makes it at 8,500 RPMs. The torque curve and all that, and the weight of the car, it's just crazy. All
even the
ways.
Dynamics of which track you're doing it.
Yeah, well, all those things. It's really, I think you're right. I think they do a great job, and I think it's I think they have to, because the series is better for it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, normally aspirated V8 engines and you know, V6 twin turbo engines, it's not easy to make them equal, unless, you know, it's free for all. And I really felt they did a good job this year.
Well, I know you didn't have quite as good a results when you came here to our hometown of Austin, Texas, but what'd you think of the Lone Star Le Mans here?
I liked it. I loved it. To be honest, my expectations were pretty high there. You know, we were fast in most of the practice. We led the last practice before qualifying, and I felt we had a really good car. Unfortunately, there was an incident in one of the restarts that, you know, we were put a lap down, but it's always fun to go and drive at one of the best tracks you know, that we have in our schedule. And Austin is a fun, great city, great town. You know, I'm actually happy that the race will be earlier next year, because it was, I can tell you, man, it was so hot inside our cockpit.
Yeah.
We know we in a P2 car, we don't have cool suits or helmet blowers, and there's not much air moving around the car, so it was extremely hot for us. And it will be much better in you know, earlier in the year.
Well, I know that you guys had to be miserable. Every person that I talked to at Circuit of the Americas that weekend was, whether it was engineers or drivers or anybody, was, I mean, even the engineers are kind of freaking out, going, we don't know how the heat's going to affect everything from the aerodynamics to the engine cooling, everything, everybody. But I know that you drivers were our heroes for getting through that, because it was just crazy hot. But
yeah, and some of the sessions were early in the morning, some of the sessions were like right midday and or late afternoon. And I can tell you, you know, we're with exactly the same car, you go through those sessions and the car handles totally different. And you know, in one session the car is perfectly balanced, and another one it understeers, and on another one it oversteers without changing anything. So I think that moving the race a little bit earlier in the year, it will make a little bit more consistent for the engineers and for us drivers also.
Yeah, that's a good point. We're getting IMSA separated from the World Endurance Championship and coming in May. So that ought to be interesting. May is warm, but not
now,
as...
Oz, I don't want to you know, set you up for you know, disappointment, but the average temperature in May is still around 85 to 91 degrees. So you know, don't think you're going to have to bring that sweater.
I will keep working hard, working up hard. I mean, living in Florida, like, you know, I know how it is. It is just that it was brutal. It was absolutely brutal this year.
Well, you got to be so excited to win the finale with Michael Shank Racing. I know that's a big deal, and Petit Le Mans. That, I mean, that's a big, what is it, 10-hour race? That's really exciting. And so congratulations on that. But you know, one thing we've probably asked you this before we let you go.
Well, we're hoping for a new answer.
Well, I got a second question.
Okay,
as well.
Jonathan, go ahead.
Well, I want to know what you're getting up to between now and the Rolex.
Well, we never have a timeout, you know, in a break. In a couple of weeks, you know, hopefully I can finalize my deal and go testing. And so we, if everything goes okay, we will be testing 3 days in Sebring, and then November and December in at Daytona. So there is really not a downtime for us, and which I love it. You know, I love driving a race car, and that's all I want to do. And so who needs the brakes, right?
That's right.
Yeah, I got to say, yeah.
It's pretty rough job you've got there, yeah.
If you're living the dream, yeah.
Exactly.
Well, that kind of leads up to our second question. You know, you've collected lots of hardware this year. Now we got to ask you, some paychecks, probably, man. There's some win bonuses, some things like that. Have you upgraded your car? What are you driving every day now?
I have not upgraded my car. My wife gives me a hard time because I have a 2007 Audi A4, which is falling apart, and I refuse to buy a car because I travel so much, and you know, I go like, why am I going to spend some money in a car? While I can buy a really nice bicycle that I ride a lot.
Oh, I bet she loves that.
She doesn't. Believe me, she does not.
So when you go drop the kids off at school or go to a party and you show up in a 9-year-old car, and somebody says, "Isn't that the race car driver? Why is he driving that ratty old car?"
I ask my wife. I'll ask my wife if she can lend me her car so I don't look bad.
What's she drive?
A Q3.
Oh, right. Okay.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
Hey, now listen, the Verstong Deutsch technique. I used to have an Audi A4 called Annie. Annie Audi A4. Those things will go on forever. You don't ever want. They just. I mean, you could leave them running in the garage overnight. Those things, they just keep going.
That sounds
forever.
Like a story behind you that, Jonathan.
You are absolutely right. Absolutely right. It's just gas and go.
Well, Oz, thank you for coming on Speed City. We really appreciate it. One of our favorite guests, as you can tell, you come on all the time. We appreciate it. We wish you the best of luck with getting all those contracts signed and having all that testing fun you get to have this off season.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It's always good and a good reason to be talking to you guys.
All righty. Travel safe, buddy.
Thanks, Oz. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks.
Hopefully May soon.
All right.
Soon.
Yeah.
Let's do that. Make the plans for May.
Yeah, he was right, man. It was a steaming hot. And, you know, when they were talking about today at Formula One in Malaysia, it was, 91 air temperature, 130 track temperature. One of these times, Formula One, it's going to happen here because, I mean, what are we at, October 22nd? I don't know what the record high is for that day, but I guarantee you it's been well into the 90s during that time.
You know, I was watching Bell reach down, you know, in the one spot on the NBC broadcast. He reached down and he puts his thumb into the sealer in the pits, you know, that's between the concrete pads, and just mashing it. And mentally, I went back to the Dallas Grand Prix in asphalt, just lifting up, sticking to tires and coming apart. Let's not see that.
Yeah, that's crazy. All right, well, we're going to take another break. And when we come back in the last segment, you will have a chance to win Formula One tickets to in Austin here. So please stay tuned. And if you want to call, that's always another good way to win some tickets. 512-643-LIVE. All right, back after these short messages. Speed City, live from Austin.
Precision Camera and Video is the largest camera store in Texas with over 10,000 square feet and packed with all the latest manufacturer offerings. Founded in 1976 and still owned and operated by its founders Jerry and Rosemary Sullivan, Precision Camera is committed to the finest customer experience. With hand-picked products and on-hand experts, you won't find a more helpful, knowledgeable, and accommodating sales staff for quality service. Come see for yourself, Precision Camera and Video, 2438 West Anderson Lane.
Admit it. You've sat there on the couch and thought to yourself that you would be a better race car driver than that guy. Just as the Speed City guys say, it's time to get off the couch and get it in gear. Mustang 4 Challenge is here to make that happen. Get in our race cars and learn how to race. We take you from the couch to the checkered flag, whether for one race or for the entire season. See for yourself at Mustang4Challenge.com.
Racetrack. It's where legends are born, where only the finest machines earn their reputation for innovation and dominance. Such are the nameplates you'll find at Aston Martin of Austin, Lotus of Austin, Bentley Austin, and Rolls-Royce Motorcars. Austin, exotic, iconic automobiles whose racing heritage turns everyday driving into an inspiring journey, because you're never just along for the ride. Highway 183 north of McNeil Road.
Want to drive your car at speed on Circuit of the Americas? Edge Addicts is your source for more COTA events and more COTA track time. Whether you're looking to host your own event or just be a part of the action, Edge Addicts can get you in the driver's seat and racing like a pro. All levels of drivers and all types of cars are welcome, with instructors available for first-time and novice drivers. Life is short and adventure is around every corner, so plan your high-adrenaline experience with Edge Addicts at edgeaddicts.com. Edge Addicts, it's better when you're driving.
On air, online, and on your smart device. Talk 1370 is the right choice.
Hi, I'm Wayne Rainey, and you're listening to Speed City.
Wayne Rainey from Moto America.
Three-time world champion.
Yes, sir. Hey, I want to play a clip. And I want to play this clip because It is a Mr. Jonathan Green. He doesn't even know that I'm about to play this. I don't think you know either, Les Kaiser. Because about 2 weeks ago...
I don't know her.
We were...
Not what we heard.
We were on the air, and you were talking about your prediction for the races between between then and Austin. And so let's play this. This is Jonathan Green's prediction. Let's play this.
Unless, you know, Hamilton has a complete meltdown, I think we're going to see, I predict that Ferrari and Red Bull will win races before Austin and could well be one of the favorites for Austin.
So I like the way you start that. You said if Hamilton doesn't have a complete meltdown. Well,
like today.
Like actually melting down.
Not sure if that was meltdown or what that was.
Not far off.
I know.
Implosion.
I know you tell us how smart and how good you are.
Occasionally I get it right.
But yeah, occasionally you do get it right. That was pretty dead on, Mr. Green.
Well, thank you. And like I said, I think the other point of today was how quickly Renault were forgotten in the melee. I mean, you're right. They're not even on the side of the Red Bull anymore, the Renault car. I mean, obviously, Renault have their own team now, and that's it's a mutual kind of parting of the ways. But that, you know, it's a Tag Heuer. But
you know what? When Red Bull went across the line with Renault engines today, 1-2, that's what went through my mind as well. It's like, how soon we forget how.
Yeah,
I mean, Red Bull was, they were publicly eviscerating Red Bull last year.
Yeah.
I mean, Renault last year. So
and Vettel's, you know, era, four titles, you know.
Yeah, pretty crazy. Well, hey, I want to talk a little two-wheel, Jonathan, because, and with Les, because both of you guys, you got to spend some time watching World Superbikes, and you got to spend some time riding motorcycles, Mr. Kaiser.
Well, I actually didn't race this time. I was invited, but I did
you
not.
You didn't get on a bike while you were out there?
I did not. You know, the schedule got out of hand, and I didn't get time to get over there for the practice, and so I just sat sidelined and had a good time. But we're talking about the Texas Tornado Mad Dog Nationals that took place last night at Colin Edwards Boot Camp. And
down there in
Lake Conroe,
Lake
Montgomery,
Conroe,
Texas.
Montgomery, that's right.
But fantastic turnout. Huge. I think they said it was the largest turnout they've ever had for the Mad Dog races. You may ask, what are Mad Dog races? It's perfectly legal. No animals are harmed. But it is so cool because it is limited to the displacement of a motorcycle. It has to be single cylinder, air cooled, 150cc or 175cc, depending on which class you get in.
And depending on who's tuning it.
Yeah. And so, but it is so cool. It is flat track on the dirt, TT style racing. And there were folks I met somebody from Minnesota that came down for the races. And there was also a couple of folks from California that came in. And, you know, the overlying theme of the entire thing is this is control. You're on a rain tire on the back tire of your bike.
Oh, really? A rain tire?
Huh. Yeah.
A street tire. Yeah,
it's a street tire, rain tire, and it is all spinning 100% of the time, it seems.
Because you put a knobbly on the front, so you've got a motocross tire on the front and a street tire on the back, which makes it kind of interesting.
Yeah.
And so consequently, the bikes really don't go over about 35, 40 miles per hour. But they are sliding around, around, and this is serious racing at its limit of traction and threshold and control, and it was just fantastic. There were so many people there having a great time. You know, it was also the inaugural Stephen Bodak Memorial races from the instructor that was passed this year from the boot camp, but phenomenal turnout. Very exciting. I'm going to tell you, come over. It was like $10 to get in, and well worth the excitement.
All right, we got it. Before we do your two wheel, Jonathan, we need to give away some tickets. You said you had a trivia question. It was brewing in the back of your mind.
Well, I just want to know two things because one answers the other. Jenson Button passed a milestone today. What was it? And who was the first Formula One team? And I mentioned it today in the show that Jenson Button drove for.
So you got it. This is a two-part question is what you're saying.
Yeah.
And you got to tweet at us or Facebook at us, but at Speedcaster on Twitter.
Because we were talking about the fact that... anyway, go on.
So the question is what was the milestone that Jenson Button passed today?
Yep.
And what team did he start with? Is that what it was?
In Formula One.
In Formula One, right. So that's to win the Formula One tickets here in Austin.
And a chance to see T-Swizzle.
T-Swizzle, that's
and
right.
Jonathan Twerk.
Oh, gosh. No one's going to respond now.
We don't perform together.
World Superbikes, what happened today?
Ah, awesome. Chaz, the man they call the Davis Chaz. Brilliant. The championship's on the line between Kawasaki. Johnny Ray should have wrapped it up when we were there in July, but it's been going on. And him and Tom Sykes are still going head-to-head. But Chaz Davis obliterated it. On Saturday, it was wet and dry, and he chose the right strategy, and he did it again in perfect conditions today. And another double win for Ducati. So, yay!
I bet our boys over here at Ducati Austin are going to be excited about that.
Yeah. So this might be the week to go buy that Ducati, folks.
This could be it.
I don't think they'll be any happier.
They'll
Come
be
on.
So Chaz ain't selling his.
That's right. Tell them you heard on Speed City they're making deals. Wait.
Keep
don't
your hands
that.
Off the Diablo, though.
Yeah, that one in the corner that's yours. Should you keep hoping nobody's going to buy?
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. That's a nice way to spend your weekend if you're Ducati. Boys, I want to just reiterate a couple things for the GP here in Austin. We're 3 weeks away. And, of course, all the events are going to start less than 3 weeks away. In fact, all the teams probably start hitting here in about 2 weeks and a day or two. But, of course, we mentioned this at the top of the show. You can hear we're going to do play-by-play of Formula One right here on AM 1370 for Sunday's race. And stay tuned to our social media to see all the details. But you can also go, if you want to get all the updates from us, go to our website. Click on the little banner that says download the app. Because there's places to, you can download the app and enter to win Formula One tickets. You can also sign up for our email updates, and you can connect with all our social media, because we're actually probably going to be doing an event for Formula One. We haven't decided exactly when, where, how, why, and what, but we're going to
be happening.
A happening, an event starring Jonathan Green and Les Kaiser. And so anyway, go to speedcitybroadcast.com, click on the download the app. We have one for for Apple phones, iOS, and we also have them for Android. Lots of cool content. And of course, the archive stream that we'll be playing, that's playing as we speak. And also during the Formula One weekend, we'll be playing all sorts of cool content, interviews, and anything that Formula One related will be during that week on the archive stream. So it's a great place to get fired up about the race. All right. Well, thanks for tuning into Speed City. And we will talk to you next week.
Come to Austin. The race for Formula One is on between the Mercedes boys.
Ciao, y'all.